This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 58.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we recap the Kentucky Derby Marathon in Louisville, Kentucky. And for this episode's quick tip, Angie recommends some running shorts that are perfect for staying cool and carrying fuel. And to get help training for your marathon or half marathon this fall, find out how to become a member of the Academy by going to marathontrainingacademy.com. Well, it's good to be sitting down in front of the microphone. We just had some family leave this morning. Your sister Amy and her husband Jason and their four kids were visiting us for about a week. And it was kind of weird because they came to visit us kind of as a last moment thing, kind of spur of the moment. We were planning on going to Kentucky to run this marathon. So we were actually gone for 2 days while they were here, and they stayed and watched our kids along with your mom. So that worked out pretty good. But
it did work out well. It did feel weird leaving, kind of like, oh, I want to do this marathon, but I don't really want to leave you guys.
And they were like, no, go. We knew that this was going to happen, that you guys were going to go run. And we want to, you know, be here to support you and watch your kids while you're gone. So we're like, well, okay. In that case, see you later. Yeah. It's always nice to have them here. Or sometimes we go out to Pennsylvania where they live. And now they're sporting their Vibram five-finger shoes and are getting into running. Jason's built up to the half marathon distance. How far has your sister Amy got so far, do you know?
I think her longest distance is 4 or 5 miles.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, awesome.
She was just telling me that for a long time, as she was building up to especially 3 miles, it was really an effort to get out there and run, especially with four small children. But she would just put her running clothes on the first thing in the morning. Then, you know, at some point in the day where her husband could watch the kids, she would go out and run. And it got to the point where it really has become part of her life. You know, she really misses it if she doesn't get out. So it's transitioned from that I have to run to I want to run.
We also have this restaurant here in our town called Lambert's Cafe. And it's famous for throwing dinner rolls to customers. Instead of bringing the rolls to your table, they just throw them to you. And it's a lot of Southern food, a lot of fried food, and it's a real fun atmosphere, but after you eat there, you feel like really heavy and gross. But all the family that comes to visit us, they always want to eat there because it's
unforgettable.
Yeah, it's unforgettable. So we went there, and Jason like ate 2 hamburgers.
They're these huge half-pound hamburgers.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you eat your main entree, you can get seconds, you know, as much as you want for free. Plus, they come around with these pass-arounds. Mm-hmm. And they have these rolls.
All the rolls you can
rolls.
Eat. Yeah. Soft, buttery yeast rolls. So how many of rolls did he eat? Like 2 or 3? And then he slams 2 hamburgers and
all the pass around. So he definitely got his money's worth.
Yeah, then he went out and ran like 3 miles the next day. So,
as opposed to our son who somehow stuffed down 4 rolls and then threw up the next day. He says, I never want to eat there again.
I didn't eat that much. I was really trying to reserve myself, and I brought actually food home in a doggy bag, but I was feeling so salty and heavy after the meal. I just came home and like laid on the couch.
You're like in a salt fat coma.
I felt like the Dead Sea. So anyway, well, we're going to get into our exciting recap of our latest marathon. Angie and I both had a really good run there in Louisville, Kentucky. Before we do, we want to read about some other people who are doing some great things in their life, and we want to make some shout-outs here.
That's right. I enjoy hearing your success stories and also hearing from people over on our Facebook community. We've got about 4,500 people over there. This first shout-out says, Hi, Angie and Trevor. I found your podcast a while back and have gone through them all and have found you two quite informative and fun to listen to. I was at a Super Bowl 5K last year that my wife was participating in when running caught my attention. I thought to myself that I could do this, though I'd always looked at running as punishment. I loved to hike, but I'd been pretty much on the couch for over a year and a half. So at the age of 45, I started my journey as a runner. My first run, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I knew from here on out this was not going to be easy. My shins hurt first, and then my calves. Eventually my quads felt like they were on fire. Through all this discomfort, I was building up mileage and stamina. I wanted to enter a race like my wife, and after completing a 5K, I was hooked on races and bling.
Bling.
Addicted is a better term, and in 2011, I ran 18 races, six of them being half marathons. In 2012, I've run 8 races so far, and I finished my first full marathon in Los Angeles in March. So I went from the couch to a marathon in 13 months, and I'm just getting started. I'll be training for an ultra marathon this August and the Goofy Challenge next January. Keep up the great job with your podcast and know that you inspire so many people, including myself, to keep on running. Take care, Rob.
That's great. He went from the couch to the marathon in 13 months. That's really amazing progress. And I'm sure that now you've run, I think you said, 6 half marathons. Probably the soreness that he felt after his first marathon compared to now what he's able to do. You know, it's he's also come a long ways there. It's probably getting easier and easier. And
yeah, it's definitely challenging physically at first to start running. Everything is going to hurt. You feel like you won't be able to breathe possibly. And mentally, it's hard too. It's hard to push past that physical discomfort. But if you do, if you stick with it, then you'll be able to accomplish so much. And it's wonderful to see what Rob has done so far and what's in the future for him.
Definitely. I remember running my first half marathon in Little Rock, and my feet were so sore afterwards. It hurt just to
You were like crawling back to the car, like, can we carry you, honey?
It was the weirdest thing. Like, my feet, it's like I had pounded the pavement so much that they were tender on the bottom, on the soles of my feet. Even, like, pushing the gas pedal down to drive home was uncomfortable. But after just running this last half marathon, you know, I think I felt good enough afterwards that I could have done another one on Sunday.
Yeah, you didn't look like you'd done anything, really. You were just your normal, energetic self.
So what I'm saying is, for you out there listening, that it does get easier. And so if you're new and feel sore after your first race, just know it's normal.
Yeah. This next note says, Dear Angie and Trevor, I just wanted to drop this note from the UK to thank you for all your great podcasts. Listening to your program has cheered me up so many times while driving my endless miles, he says 85,000 in the last 3 years, across the UK for my work. You've often pushed me towards my running shoes to offload stress and get back in shape. I have completed 4 marathons so far, New York, Amsterdam, Paris, and London, and there's one more scheduled this year in the south of France. Most of the time, I listen to each podcast twice and have learned so much. I've even used some of the information for a speech sharing my passion for running with 30 hotel managers. You have such a positive impact that when I listened to 6 podcasts while driving 600 miles one day, I was so geared up and re-energized that I couldn't wait to get home to go out for a run. Please keep it up, and I hope to meet you in person someday. Warm regards, Edward. And he says, P.S., did Trevor come up with a global runner's greeting?
Oh, the grunt? What? He's talking about the runner's grunt?
I think so.
Okay. That was from a couple episodes back, wasn't it?
I think on running etiquette, maybe.
Yeah. So he listens to our podcast twice, and sometimes he's like listened to 6 in a row.
Poor guy. Can't imagine listening to myself for that long.
Well, I'm glad he's found great benefit in it. And
yeah. And I think it's amazing because you know how hard it is to drive long hours. You just feel like a zombie by the time you get out of the car.
Yeah.
And it's easy to become less active. And so the fact that, you know, he's ready to get out of the car and go running and has trained for so many marathons is really beneficial to his health because it's helping to counteract, you know, all the stress of sitting.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, if he's spending that much time in the car, then I'm glad he's balancing it out with running and other exercise that he's probably doing.
That's right.
Well, keep it up, Rob and Edward, and all of you out there who are enjoying the active life. Just want to encourage you to train smart and keep the enthusiasm going.
Yes.
All right, well, it's time for another one of our world-famous race recaps.
World-famous? Who do you think we are? Elite athletes.
Hey, people were asking us, you know, about getting a recap of our race, so
Okay. I guess there's a few out there who
and
want
some,
to hear.
Some of them might be on other continents who asked us. I don't know. So that would be world famous, wouldn't it?
I guess. Okay.
As many of you know, Angie wants to run a marathon in all 50 states. So we're always looking to add a new state to her collection. She's so covetous that way. We had our eyes on the Kentucky Derby Marathon in Louisville for some time. Notice how I say Louisville.
Yes, you have come a long way in the last couple of years.
Some people say Louisville. Who knows? We're not going to get into that right now. But we were hoping we could work that race into our calendar, and it finally worked out, and we ran on April the 28th, the Kentucky Derby Marathon. We live about 5 hours away, so we were able to drive over on a Friday, leaving our kids in the care of our competent relatives, and run our race Saturday morning, and then drive home Saturday afternoon. I think every marathon has its own personality, and this race, I could say from the very start here, was, I think, fun. It was well organized. I think it captured the personality of the city of Louisville. And for those that don't know, Louisville is famous for being home to the Kentucky Derby, which is a race for thoroughbred horses. The racetrack is called Churchill Downs, where the Kentucky Derby takes place, and we actually got to run through it.
Yeah, that was really neat.
That was awesome. It was a pretty large marathon. There was about 18,000 runners. Most of the runners were half marathoners, probably like 16,000.
Yes.
And they actually call it a mini marathon. I don't really like being considered a mini marathoner.
Yeah, I know. It kind of seems diminutive.
Yeah. I'd rather be a half marathoner, but it's the same distance. And this marathon is a loop course, meaning that the starting line and the finishing line are pretty much in the same location. And I guess that's a change that they made in 2011. But I like a loop course. It simplifies things, I think.
It is. Logistically, it's easier to know where to park and find your vehicle afterward and not have to worry about shuttles and things.
Yeah. And if I feel like I'm headed back toward the starting line, then I'm getting closer, you know, to being done.
Right.
Rather than like I'm going off way in the opposite direction to finish my race. So what did you think of the course?
Well, first of all, I thought we really had ideal springtime weather.
Yes.
It was a little bit cool and overcast. So, you know, if the sun had come out in full force, it really could have been a blistering day. But it just had enough of a breeze, enough of a cloud cover that it was pretty ideal for running in, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, spring can be a hard time. You can either get really cold or the really hot races.
I think the organizers did a good job in planning that.
Yes, yes. They set the thermometer.
The thermostat.
They set the thermostat on the right temperature. Anyway, yeah, I really enjoyed some of the beautiful areas that we got to see while we were running. Like you said, Churchill Downs. We got to enter through a tunnel onto the infield and saw some racehorses warming up. And I thought it was interesting that even going at an easy pace, those horses looked like they were just running so gracefully and effortlessly. And
yes.
I'm like huffing and puffing up the tunnel, you know. I don't think, maybe the elite runners, you know, look like they're running effortlessly.
Yeah, I think they do.
But, you know, some of us in the middle of the pack kind of
probably look like a crippled horse.
Charging rhinoceros or something. I don't know. That was really neat. We also ran through a really nice historic neighborhood, and everything was in full bloom, and it was really beautiful. And then for the full marathon, about miles 11 through 14, we went through a place called Iroquois Park. And this was really nice because there wasn't any vehicular traffic, so you didn't have the cars and the exhaust, and it was really lovely and shaded, too.
Now, the half marathon didn't go through the park.
No, it split off before the park.
So I have no idea what it even looks like.
Yeah, I really don't either. to be honest, it's all blur now. But I do remember lots of shaded trees and lots of hills. There was a series of hills, and I think it was at mile 11 it started, and it was a pretty good incline to start with, and then just kind of rolling hills for those 3 miles. And I'm not a person who like goes over the course really minutely memorizing every up and down and twist and turn, but I haven't had a guy that was more clueless running next to me, and he's like, how far do these hills go? I was like, I think they end about mile 14.
I did see you check the elevation the day before we went down there.
I did check it, and I noticed, you know, the patch of hills, but, you know, on paper it looks a lot different than when you're running, especially for someone who does not run on many hills.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a weakness in my training, is that I didn't really do enough hill training between the New Orleans race and here.
Right.
And so that was something I really wasn't prepared for. But, you know, and I do like a little bit of up and down, but it was a little bit challenging. After that, the course flattened out until we hit another series of hills about miles 21 to 24. So there were some nice flat sections. Really, the only things I didn't like about the course was that there was a later set of hills, and then the half marathon and marathon course merged about miles 18 through 21. And at times, the road wasn't very well divided, so we had some half marathon walkers kind of, you know, merging over into the marathon lane and kind of blocking some of the water stops. And so that was a little bit challenging. But all in all, really, the course was wide and it wasn't congested. So I thought they did a pretty good job to accommodate even more runners this year.
Some people really get ticked off about that, you know, because I like to read reviews on the internet about different marathons.
Yes.
And if they have to dodge walking half marathoners, they really get upset at the race directors and everyone.
It's kind of like when you drive, you know, you kind of sometimes mutter under your breath or think uncharitable thoughts. I know if people don't think about it, it's not like they're being purposely malicious by walking 15 across the race course. You know, it's probably their first half marathon and they're just excited to be out there and trying to make it through the race and thought, oh, here's a nice lane that's not being used very much. So I know people aren't probably doing it consciously, so I try not to get irritated, but
that's good. It's better to live life not getting irritated rather than
right. Yeah. Exactly. There's just some things that you can't control, and so stressing over them is only going to, you know, shorten your life, not the other person's life. I really thought the support along the course was good. There were plenty of aid and water stations. At some of the water stations, they handed out water in these inflexible plastic cups. I don't know if you had some of those. And so you couldn't pinch the top to drink.
Yes.
It was like you couldn't manipulate the top rim. And so I ended up getting as much water on the front of me as I did in my mouth. But, you know, that's a pretty minor complaint, I guess. Some aid stations, they did pass out those little water bottles. And I really like those because you can drink some and then save it for later. It's not like you have to throw the cup away or get sloshed all over. So I really like it when marathons offer those little bottles, especially as a person who carries their own fuel. You know, I may be fueling at different times during the course. And so it was kind of nice. What did you think about the course?
I enjoyed the course. I enjoyed being in the city. There was a lot of people out there cheering us on. There was a drunk guy playing the air guitar. It just made me smile.
I think their motto was, as long as you're running, we'll keep drinking or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you run, we'll drink. Yeah, you run by this patch of drunks, you know, like you smell this
beer, like wafting over the course.
Yeah. They're like spilling out onto the course, cheering you on. It's like, thanks, guys. Then there was a guy that had a sign that said, worst parade ever.
I've seen that one before, yeah.
That's cool.
Like, thanks a lot.
But I thought it was really cool running through Churchill Downs. The course went right by the wagering windows. And then, like Angie said, under this tunnel and then right out into the middle turf of the racetrack. I enjoyed running past also the Louisville Slugger Factory, which is where they produce baseball bats. I think they're the official bats of the Major League. And the largest baseball bat in the world is outside the Louisville Slugger Factory
yeah.
in downtown. And I wanted to run up there and, like, knock on it and see if it was real wood, which I've heard that it is, and, you know, I didn't get a chance to do that, but. So before the race started, we had sort of a porta-potty dilemma.
Well, we got to the starting line with about 35 minutes to spare, don't you think?
35 minutes to spare, and we parked, like, maybe a quarter mile away. And there was no porta-potty at all.
Until you got right to the starting line, there was a big, long line of porta-pots.
Yeah, like 30.
So we thought, okay, we'll get in the line. You know, we've got 30 minutes. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, these are the slowest bathroom lines I've ever stood in my entire life. I mean, I don't know what everyone was doing in there, but I think they were, like, body gliding their whole body or something. I don't know. It was getting ridiculous.
And there were thousands of people in line for these porta-potties.
We were just inching forward. Pretty soon there was only 3 minutes to gun time, and there were still several people in line in front of us, and we're kind of like, oh, you know, what do we do?
And not only that, not only in our line, but every porta potty had, like, this long string. There's a bunch of people behind us.
Hundreds, probably.
I could look out over, like, probably 1,000 people were still in line to use this thing, and it was 3 minutes to the starting time. And then it got down to 1 minute, and there's still 1,000 people in line.
Well, at about the 3 minute point, you started asking the people in front of us in line. There was maybe, you know, 8 or so.
Yeah.
You're like, is anyone going for a PR today? And they're kind of like, huh? They're like, my wife is going for a PR and she's in A Corral, you know, would you mind if she went first? And
they're like, no, come on.
Yeah, they're really gracious about it. And I was glad he spoke up because I needed to go, and it would have definitely negatively affected my race experience if I hadn't been able to go at that point. So I went and then just had to jet over and get in my corral. And seriously, there was like only a minute until the gun went off.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no time to spare.
I couldn't even get in my corral or use a porta potty. I just had to wait on the outside of the corral where this little metal barricade is. And after the gun went off and people started going and it started thinning out, then a bunch of us could like zoom in there and get into our corral. And I went for the first 3 miles just having to pee so bad. It was like all I could think about. Here we are running through the downtown, and like there's police out barricading all the intersections, and there's like runners all around me, and I'm looking for a place to dart off and pee. And I'm thinking, man, this is great. Here I am in the Kentucky Derby Marathon, and I gotta pee like a racehorse. Finally, after 3 miles, there was some porta pots, so I had to stop and use them, and it probably cost me, I don't know, 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm. You got to do what you got to do.
But the point is, if you're going for a PR, though, you gotta empty yourself out before you race.
Because you're not going to have time to stop on the course.
No, you don't want to waste time like that.
Yeah.
And you got to plan enough time, like get to the starting line early, and we thought we were safe, but...
Right. Not so much. The funny thing is I had a dream the night before that I was telling you about on the way there that I was late getting to the starting line, and then I couldn't find the starting line, and I ended up starting the race like 15 minutes later, and they were going to shut the course down on me, and then it was kind of funny that we barely squeaked in.
So we were both able to set a PR at this race, and we were pretty excited about that. You managed to run your fastest marathon yet, 3 hours, 35 minutes, and 41 seconds. How did it feel?
Well, it always feels great to PR, and it was really a great race, and I'm happy with my PR. However, my Boston qualifying time is 3:35:00, and so I missed Boston by 41 seconds for everyone who was wondering out there. You can cry with me. No, I haven't shed any tears over it. But, yeah, so... It was really a good time. I think it's very important, and I talk about this a lot, to go into a race having a lot of mental strength. You really have to be mentally prepared for a race, and don't ever go into it thinking it'll be easy. Especially during the later set of hills around miles 21 to 24, I had thoughts like, I should just walk these hills because I'm going to miss my Boston qualifying time. And so what does it matter?
Wow.
You know, going through my head, just stop and walk, you know, you can relax, get there. It's not going to matter kind of thing. So you really have to be prepared to fight against those thoughts of quitting or not giving your best effort.
When you say fight against them, so already know ahead of time that you are going to have those thoughts.
Exactly. Don't be surprised when they pop into your head, like, yeah, I should walk, or I should quit, or sit down, or this or that. I mean, they happen even whether it's your first marathon or your ninth marathon.
Right.
They're gonna happen, and you have to be prepared to shoot them down. You have to say, no, my finishing time may not matter to anyone else, but it matters to me. And more importantly than your finishing time, your effort matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll always remember that I quit when the going got tough later on, knowing that I'll always think back if I didn't give my best effort, you know, help me to leave it all there, as I have used that mantra before. And I could cross the finishing line knowing that I did everything that I could do during the race. And even though I missed my Boston qualifying time, I do have great satisfaction knowing that I gave it my all. In fact, my last 2 miles, I was running 7:30 pace, which is the fastest pace that I did the whole time.
Yeah, it's a good kick.
Yeah, I mean, I really gave it my all. I crossed the finishing line without... hardly enough energy to walk. Kind of staggered around for a while. And, you know, my quads definitely felt it later, all those hills and that finishing kick. But, you know, I really gave it my all. And I am satisfied that I got a PR. And I know that I do have it in me to qualify for Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of, you know, live to fight another day and train through the summer and shoot for a fall race. And
awesome. So here's a good takeaway for everyone. When you go into your race, just know that you're going to have doubts, and your mind is going to try to rationalize yourself into walking.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared that, you know, to tell yourself to shut up or whatever it takes.
Exactly. And it's, we're not saying it's bad to walk during a race. You know,
no.
If that's part of your race strategy, that's good if you want to walk through the water stations. But, you know, say you have planned to walk for a minute at every water stop. Your
right.
mind is going to be hitting you with, oh, just walk another minute.
Yeah.
Just walk for 5 minutes, and I promise I'll start running again.
What is this pain in my calf?
I know. Maybe your leg is broken. Yeah, there's so many things that will go through your head, and so you have to be prepared. Keep your race strategy, you know, use even pacing, and just stay mentally strong, and so that you can have no regrets when you cross the finish line.
Definitely. I think you ran a great race. You finished. Angie was the 35th woman to finish this marathon out of like over 700. So
yes, I was.
You're in the top 100.
Thank you.
In the top 40.
Yeah, I was happy. And you got, what was it, 147.43?
Yeah, I ran my marathon at 147.43.
Yeah, right.
I ran my. That'd be impossible. I ran my half marathon in 147.43. My last time was 148, so, you know, like shaved about a minute.
But the funny thing was, when I asked you before the race, you know, how fast you're going to run it in, you're like, oh, I'm just going to take it easy and enjoy the scenery and, you know, have fun out there. So
that's my strategy.
It's like this accidental PR guy.
That's right. My strategy is under-promise and over-deliver. No, I just got out there and it felt good. You know, the races are really exciting. And I guess my inner competitor came galloping out of the chutes like a mighty steed.
So did you have a mantra that kept you going?
Yes, my mantra was pass everybody.
Wow.
And it was also like kind of a game. I would just, whoever I was running with around, I would just slowly pass them up. And then I kind of do the same thing when I drive.
Yes, he does. And then he drives in the left-hand lane for a long time.
Yeah, I did get passed by some people, but for the most part, I just tried to put everybody behind me, and it kept my pace going pretty well, I guess, and then I got a negative split, so I was running faster in the second half of my race.
And that's perfect strategy, because if you can hold yourself back and keep your pace even the first half of the race, then you can just kind of leave it all there in the second half, muster any energy and strength you have left, and do a strong finish. Another important thing to consider for your marathon is logistics. Especially if you're running in a big city, it can be stressful and confusing to find parking and the starting line, hotel, things like that. So Trevor has some great tips on handling logistics and making your marathon experience as stress-free as possible.
Angie delegates all the logistics to me when we go places.
I do. I just complain if something goes wrong.
She doesn't ever know where we are. Like, Angie, point north.
I can point to the sky and the ground.
Well, the first thing I would say is get a late checkout at your hotel room if you're not planning on staying another night. After your race, it's so nice to be able to go back to your room, to shower, to get your stuff together, to maybe even take a quick nap. So we were staying at the Drury Hotels, and by the way, there are podcast sponsors, so when you're traveling, book your rooms at the Drury Hotels. We'd appreciate it. And use our promo code MTA and you'll save $10. But after the race, we were able to go back and we had a late checkout at 2 o'clock. So that was so nice, you know, not have to drive home like all in our sweaty clothes or try to find somewhere else to shower.
That tests your commitment to your marriage when you have to smell somebody for 5 hours.
Another thing I would say is eat early before your race. We went out to eat at a restaurant, you know, what time, about 5 or 6 o'clock.
Oh, you mean the night before?
The night before, yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't want to eat like a real heavy meal or find some exotic restaurant and eat something that your stomach might not be able to handle. So eat early and then get a good night's rest.
Yeah, we kind of ate actually late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got to the Drury, we had just some of their evening snacks.
Right.
And it was just the perfect thing to top off our tank and then not be bogged down with a bunch of food all night.
And then another tip, and this is really helpful for us, is spend the day before the race getting oriented to the city, like making sure you know how to get to the starting line, scoping out where the parking is.
Making sure you have cash for the parking garage if necessary.
Yes.
That was a snide remark.
Well, we found an ATM, so You know, because I don't know Louisville very well. I've just driven by it, and I've never really been into it.
I'd get lost in my hometown.
Yeah. So, you know, not having driven to the starting line and make sure I could do it, and then trying to do it the morning of the race, I just couldn't imagine, like, the stress that I would bring on myself.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we made some wrong turns and wandered a little bit the day before. You just got to get that all out of the way and get that all out of your system.
Exactly.
Even if you have a GPS, you know, just practice getting there and make sure there's no detours or who knows what could...
Because some of the roads will probably be closed for the marathon. And so you have to know if you've planned to go on a certain route that do you think is going to be the fastest way there and then all those roads are closed.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to be careful.
So what Angie and I did was we went to the race expo, and then after that we, you know, looked around, and then we went back to our car, and then we practiced getting to the starting line, and then sort of drove part of the course to see just kind of where we'd be running, and then scoped out where some parking garages were. And that's another tip, is if you find a parking spot that's a ways away from the starting line, that's okay. Actually, it might even be preferable.
That's right, because then you can kind of cool down as you're walking towards your car. The worst thing you can do after finishing running is just sitting down, especially if you're going to be sitting for a long time. It's really important to gradually allow the blood flow to return to normal in your legs, some of that lactic acid to clear out, and it'll reduce your stiffness and soreness later.
Plus, it's a nice little warm-up walking to the starting line from your car.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So I usually like to walk a little bit before I start running. And then, here's another tip. I have my car keys, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with these? I don't want to run with them. I don't want to put them in my pockets. And I wasn't bringing my fuel belt, so I didn't have any like little nifty pockets on my fuel belt. So you told me, take off your car key for the door of the ignition and thread it into your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I like threaded it into my shoelace and tucked it up like that real nice, and you know, it didn't like flop around or anything. I didn't even hardly know it was there, and it was like pretty secure. I mean,
it's as secure as your shoe is.
Yeah.
If you lose a shoe when you're running, you're going to be, you know, obviously noticing that.
Yeah, if your shoelace becomes...
goes haywire.
I don't know how that would happen, though, but... Yeah, so that worked really slick. I think in the past, I've, like, hidden my key, like, underneath the undercarriage of my car before.
Swallowed it.
Or sometimes, I think I ran in Indianapolis, I just clutched the keys the whole way.
Right.
Like my whole key ring.
I offered to carry the keys in my shirt pockets, but you didn't trust me with them, so.
Yeah.
Of course, I was finishing later than he was, too, so that would definitely make a difference.
And then my last tip is after your race, go enjoy a fat, salty meal. You deserve it. You burned a lot of calories, so.
Definitely celebrate. Just make sure your celebration doesn't extend for weeks afterwards.
All right, so now it's time for this episode's quick tip, and Angie's going to tell you about some shorts that'll keep you cool and help you store your fuel.
Yes, the shorts are called Race Ready, and I can finally say that I have found hot weather running shorts that are awesome.
And you look very cute in them.
Thank you. I notice my legs are very, very white, but anyway, that's a side note. The shorts come in a variety of lengths and colors, and they have a really comfortable brief lining inside. And the best thing about them is, as the name says, that you will be ready for your race, because some of the features include 2 front Velcro pockets, and then they have 5 mesh pockets along the back top of your hip. And I carried a tube of electrolytes, 3 gels, and a bottle of my concentrated Perpetuum mix in the mesh pockets, and it didn't bounce around. It was very secure and really just made the race so much smoother when everything you have is right there. I've tried different things, different belts and stuff, but I was really happy with these shorts. They were cool, comfortable, and carried all the goods.
Okay, so the shorts are called Race Ready, and you can find them at raceready.com. And if you'd like more information on running and marathon training, visit us at marathontrainacademy.com. And when you're there, you can download a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We want you to know you do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way.